He rests in you, Lord. The word that you've given him, put on his heart, I pray. Would you anoint it to our hearts today, that we'll find our rest in the only one,
yes, Lord,
that can give us rest. Strengthen him, God, and give him courage to say what he needs to say, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, James. You may have the mic.
Thank you so much, Uncle Henry. Sorry? Well, you know, it's just respectful. It's because I love my uncles, you know. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for having us again. It's good to be in Aces. For those of you that don't know me, as Uncle Henry said, I'm James, and my wife is probably changing a stinky nappy, and that she's sitting there. So sorry if my boy gets very noisy. He's discovered his voice, and he gets the zoomies now, so it's a new thing, and he's like got some sign languages and some all sorts happening, so please excuse him. But we are from Melkbos, and we have been married for 5 years, I think just over 5 years. We've got, right, Jen? Yes, okay. We've got one son that's almost 14 months old, and then we've got another one coming in March, which is very exciting and terrifying. But we're excited, and so it's really cool to be with you guys. And I've just been praying for the church and just like really trying to find, like, Lord, what message would you like me to share this morning? Like, what message? I don't want to just share something just because of a preach or just because I want to come here and be an Azefontein and go for a surf in the morning and then just do a good deed this morning. That's not what we want to do. I was asking God, like, Lord, what do you have for Azefontein? Like, what do you have? And usually at this time of the year, people preach about finding rest, or they preach about not buying too many Christmas presents, or they preach about family time's important, but God's also important. You know, there's all these like preachers we always hear about at this time of the year. So I've got an interesting one for you guys, but it's quite cool. And I actually had a lot of fun preparing this because I don't know if you guys have ever done this before. We had it where you have a scripture and you're reading through it and you start Googling stuff about it and like about the maps and like what can actually happen, and it starts getting extremely interesting. And so this is pretty cool. And so I want to jump straight into it. And we're going to be preaching a lot about water this morning. I love water. I love to drink water, and I love to be in water, and I love salt water as well. And the title of the preach is, How Deep Are You? So basically alluding to the fact, like, how deep are you in this water? And so we're going to go straight to John 4, where Jesus meets a woman at Jacob's well. And I'm going to start from verse 6. It says, Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon, so very, very warm. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, Will you please give me a drink? Because his disciples had gone into the town to go buy food and supplies. The Samaritan woman said to him, You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans at all. And Jesus answered her, If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. How cool is that? Living water. So that's what we're going to be focusing on, is this thing of water, living water. And Jesus is just so interesting in the Bible because whenever he interacts with people, he's always got this bigger picture in mind. You know, like you can just see, like she's worried about the fact that this man is just talking to her, but he has always got this big picture in mind. And I want us to please think about the bigger picture this morning. So we all maybe focus on holiday, and there's nothing wrong with that. We focus on our Christmas lunch roast and all these awesome things, which is absolutely nothing wrong with. But we must never lose sight of the bigger picture, because Jesus never did. And so that scripture we're going to come back to, but I want us to just remember that Jesus said to this lady, hey, if you actually ask me, I will give you this thing called living water, which is beautiful. And next up, I want to go to Ezekiel 47. And we're going to read through this scripture together. And this is the very cool scripture. This is where some of the cool stuff comes in. So, I mean, all scripture is cool. Don't get me wrong. But this is extra cool today. So, in Ezekiel 47, it says, The man brought me back to the entrance to the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple towards the east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me through the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate facing east, and the water was trickling from the south side. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits, and then he led me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off another 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee deep. He measured off another 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was up to the waist. He measured off another 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough for someone to swim in, a river that no one could cross. He asked me, son of man, do you see this? And this is now Ezekiel, 600 years before Jesus walked the earth. This is a man just like all of us in this hall that had a gift of hearing the voice of the Lord. But it's not like it was just easy. Like, it's not like you just hear God. Like, he had to do things in faith as well. People in the Old Testament also were men and women of faith. And so he was hearing God. And it's not like 100% convinced that this is God. Like, he's hearing these things and he's seeing this picture. He doesn't know when it's going to happen. He never saw the temple. He never saw any of these things. But he had, like, God dropped this image in his mind of this temple and the altar of God, which is the presence of God. And so he was actually seeing Jesus in 600 years' time. He didn't know when it was going to happen. And he saw this river flowing out. And I mean, for him, he must have had to process a lot. Like, straight out of the temple, you walking through ankle-deep water. And I think 1 cubit is like 12 feet. If anybody knows the correct measurement, please, I might be wrong. But I think it's 12 feet. So 12 foot is, what, like up to like here, maybe? So that's like maybe 1 cubit. So 1,000 cubits is quite far, right? So 1,000 cubits ankle deep, and then knee deep, and then waist deep, and then you're basically swimming in this river. And so what do these numbers mean? Why would he measure 1,000 cubits at a time? And so basically, there's three things we can take away from this. That first of all, God has always got more for us. Always. And so it's clear by the picture, you're going from ankle deep to swimming in a river. Like, it means you're going deeper into something. So that is the picture that God has given Ezekiel, and that is actually the picture of Jesus. Like, when you follow Jesus, you're going deeper. There's always more for you, right? His kingdom is always, always advancing. So I don't know if you guys ever heard of, like, somebody saying, no, it feels like I'm stagnating or like I'm just still. There's no such thing, actually. You're either going forwards or you're going backwards in the things of God. There's not really a place where you can just hang and be happy for the rest of your life, and that's as deep as you want to go. It's not how it works. You're either going all the way forward or you're going backwards. And so in this picture, the kingdom is always advancing and you're always moving forward, and God wants to take you deeper and deeper and deeper. And what the water signifies, wait, we'll get there. I don't want to jump ahead of myself. And then the third thing, we all have seasons and we must faithfully finish those seasons. And so we had a youth equip a few months back, and Kala, who leads the Stellenbosch congregation, he preached on this scripture, and he was speaking about the 1,000 cubits. Why is it 1,000 cubits and another 1,000? And we've got to remember, God created maths, he created science, he created all these things. It's not like man came up with it. So God is extremely calculated. He knows exactly what he's doing. And why would he give Ezekiel this vision of 1,000 cubits exactly? And some of the theories, some of the scholars are saying that 1,000 cubits is like the perfect number of completion, like the ultimate completion. So once you get to 1,000 cubits of ankle deep water, you've completed your ankle deep water journey. Now, what's next for you is knee deep water. And so I think one of the main things that Ezekiel is trying, or God is trying to say to us through the scripture for us today, is that you have seasons in your life. We all have seasons, and we need to faithfully finish the season. We need to faithfully finish it. So there's always more for us, and God's kingdom is always moving. But there is a sense for us personally, like, what has God called you to do now? Like, what has God got on your life now? That could be ankle-deep water. There's nothing wrong with being in ankle-deep water. Maybe that's the basic truths of the faith, Why did Jesus die on the cross for you? Why do you need to go to church? Why is community important? Why is coffee so lekker with people? You know, that's not maybe a basic truth of the faith, but it's a big part of it. Maybe a bit too much than it should be. So what has God put in your life now? And what was the last thing he asked you to do? Because God is not just going to take you from ankle deep water and throw you into the river where you're going to swim. He wants to see you faithfully walking through. And I've got a very special man in our life. His name, well, I can't give you his name. I'm not going to give you his name. But he was 75 years old. And he was an elder in a church for many, many, many years. And he was an elder because of his age. And yes, age does bring a lot more character and a lot more maturity. And so a lot of elders are a bit older because their maturity and their character outweighs, they're gifting a lot more. It was Uncle Russell Fraser. I'm not sure if everybody here knows Uncle Russell Fraser, but he's a very wise man. And he says the reason why you don't find a lot of like 20-year-olds that are elders in the church is because their gifting far outweighs their character. They've basically got no character yet. They don't even know how to pay the bills. So how can you entrust the church to people like that? So he was 75 years old, and he ended up joining a Joshian church and ended up getting saved and giving his life to the Lord and getting baptized. And so I think that's a small example to us of maybe someone that stayed in ankle-deep water for way too long, you know, and maybe wasn't, maybe just didn't capture the basic truth of the ankle-deep water. And so what was God calling him to do in that moment? When he really discovered God, it's like, God, I'm going to give my life to you. I know you. And he gets baptized. And now I think he's like swimming in a river now. And so there's this beautiful picture for us as followers of Jesus that we're always going to be being faithful with our season. There's always more. But what is God calling us to do now? And it's very important. And then moving on to, finishing off verse 6, it says, then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, this water flows towards the eastern region and goes down into the Araba where it enters the Dead Sea. When it empties into the sea, this is beautiful, the salty water becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the water flows. There will be large numbers of fish. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So wherever the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore from En-Gedi to En-Eglaim, and there'll be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like those of the Mediterranean Sea. And so this is so cool. So it says that the water will make the Dead Sea fresh. And so I've got a, do we have those pictures by any chance? There's one of the, you can just go through them. If you go to the next one, were there only three? Okay, you go to the first one, that's fine. Thank you. So you see there on the right is the Dead Sea, and then in the middle there's the temple. Okay, and so you see the river flowing into the Dead Sea. What's so cool about this is if you look at the actual maps, there is a gap between all the hills that will allow water to flow into the river, into the Dead Sea. And I was wondering, why does the water need to become fresh? Because you think salt water is full of nutrients, like the sea is full of fish. But the significance here is the Dead Sea is so full of salt that nothing can live in it. It's completely dead. Nothing grows on the shoreline. There's basically nothing good for the Dead Sea. But for tourists going there and floating, apparently if you float in there, a lot of tourists like actually put their head underwater, and it's so salty that it's dangerous. Like you can almost lose your eyesight and people's eyes burn. And so the Dead Sea is literally dead. If you think about it, there's no fish, there's nothing. And so spiritually, how incredible is this that Ezekiel, seeing this picture of Jesus and this river flowing, and wherever this river flows, there's life. And wherever it goes, there's life. And it even goes into this massive, massive Dead Sea. And the river slowly but surely will make all this dead water fresh and alive. And it's beautiful because he sees this 600 years in advance. And for us, the beautiful part is that when we're saved, like Jesus said to that woman at the well, we are given living water. And so this river is us. The river that flows is not only this physical river. It is a river that flows through the church. Every single one of us are a part of the river. We're going deeper in our own walk into this river with Jesus, but we are the ones that carry the water. And we are the river that Ezekiel saw flowing from Jesus that's going to flow into this dead world and make what it's worth absolutely nothing without Jesus. And we get to bring Jesus to this dead world. So Azefontaine, this is what I felt God saying, is that there's this dead town. It's dead. Without Jesus, there's no hope. Without Jesus, there's no worth. There's absolutely nothing without Jesus. And there's a town where I know a lot of people here live here. They come here just to pick up their lives. They come here because it's beautiful. It's quiet. There's you awesome people. You know, the streets are clean. It's the perfect place to come if you just want to get away from life and get away from difficult things. And so that is dead without Jesus. Without the Lord in your life, there's absolutely no meaning. And so I saw this picture of you guys, this church, being the river going through Azefontaine, all the little streets, and just bringing life to people. And I want to encourage everyone in this place that God has really given you living water. It is true. And it says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And so do not be ashamed of the gospel. And what that means is not like neglecting the gospel. It just means don't be afraid of what it can do. You bringing the gospel to somebody in their life is literally they are in the Dead Sea and they are dead. And you can bring that living water and make their life full of fresh water. And it's such a beautiful picture. And a fun fact about this is in Zechariah, it also speaks about a river flowing from the same temple from Jerusalem, but it flows the other way to the west. And what's quite cool, can we go back to that picture? What's so cool is it says there in Ezekiel that there'll be fish like from the Mediterranean Sea. And so like, how can that happen unless God just like, he could probably just make it happen. But what's incredible is the other river flows to the Mediterranean Sea from Zechariah. So you got the one from Ezekiel going on the right and the one from Zechariah going to the left. And there's actually fish in the Mediterranean Sea that can survive in fresh water. And so they would be able to swim all the way up the systems and go through the whole system where they are literally fishermen just pulling them out of the water. And so although this is completely supernatural, it's incredible that this prophecy thousands of years ago actually can happen on the map. It can actually happen. The hills are designed exactly how Ezekiel saw it. How incredible is that? Ezekiel didn't walk all those hills. He saw this. It's like if that's not enough to give you faith in the fact that God is real and speaks to us, I don't know what would. And so he saw this picture where he's even like, you can stand on the shores and pull out fish. I love fishing. And there's nothing better than being on the shoreline and catching a fish. Like going on boats and that is cool, but that's a mission, you know. It's quite special if you can see you got like a massive fish from the shoreline. And so there's this beautiful plan that God has for all of us. And I just want us to keep thinking about whenever we hear water, I want you to think of yourself. That's me. I am the water now. I have the water of life. And we are supposed to be moving and going deeper. So keep thinking about the fact that we are the ones that have the water. And it all starts with Jesus. So what exactly is this water referring to? So this is now 600 years later when Jesus is walking the earth. And in John 7 verse 37... I'm going to read from the screen because it's hard to see the small writing. It says this, on the last and the greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. So remember, it always starts with Jesus. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not been glorified. And so what is so cool about this is nobody had experienced the Spirit yet. Like the Holy Spirit hadn't been given out like we have it now. And so even up until that moment, the Holy Spirit still hadn't been poured out how he's been poured out today. And so Ezekiel saw this, and when Jesus walked the earth, he obviously knew exactly what God's plan was, that this wellspring of water was going to be birthed out of Jesus when he's resurrected, and the Holy Spirit's going to be completely laid on us. And we are going to be the church. We're going to be this river that flows into all the world and completely brings life to everybody. And it is so beautiful. And that includes every single one of us. And so how did Ezekiel know these things? It's incredible. Like, it's actually the manuscripts, the physical evidence that they found buried in different places of all these prophetic books. Like, they imagine reading that and actually seeing, oh my goodness, these guys were telling the truth. Like, this stuff is real. There's real historical paper they've pulled out of the ground from Ezekiel somewhere along the line, and they've read this. And it's stored. Like, they say that the historical evidence goes like miles high into the sky of the Bible. Miles high of paper if it's stacked on top of itself. And I just find the history of this incredible and how accurate it is as well. It's amazing. So, the water is referring to the Spirit. Just as Jesus was saying, that living water, rivers of living water will flow from within them. And so 600 years ago, you got Ezekiel seeing this picture, and 600 years later, Jesus telling the people, guys, if you believe in me, these rivers will flow within you. And so for us today, that's what Jesus is speaking to us. He's saying, if you believe in me with all your heart and you receive the Spirit, there will be a river flowing from you that you can't contain. It overflows and it's going to go into the hall of Azefontein. And it's beautiful. And this is what every single person in this hall is called to do. And so, yes, we're called to be faithful in our season, like whether you're ankle deep or whether you're swimming, faithful with your season, but remember that God is always advancing. And so, what has God called you to do now? And what is God going to call you into? Are you ready to advance with this kingdom? It's a very important question. And it's good to answer it now, because if you say yes now, and then God actually speaks to you about doing something, it's easier that you've already said yes. Because when you realize what he's calling you to, it's hard. And you're going to want to say no. So it's good to say yes in the beginning. So if we come back to John 4, this lady that encountered Jesus, I think she absorbed something of that living water he was talking about. Because you know what happened with her? Although she had been with many men in her life, I think she was potentially a prostitute of the town. She had boyfriends everywhere. So she was also a Samaritan woman, very low regarded in the town. Like, nobody would listen to her whatsoever. She ran straight from Jesus back to her town, and something was different about her because she encountered this living water. So much so that people listened to her and believed in Jesus. And so already there we see in the New Testament, not just this picture from the Old Testament that's mystical and unachievable, we already see in the New Testament someone that is a very, very lowly regarded person in life, taking this water and being a part of that river, and that river going to a dead town, and suddenly there's life. And so it's exactly the same with us. So we see this happening all over the New Testament. And so for Azefontein, I really had this picture of almost like the temple is not this building. The temple is Jesus in our lives. And so the Bible speaks about our bodies being a temple of God. And Jesus even said to the Jews, is probably why he was crucified, he said, I'm going to break this temple down and I'm going to rebuild it in 3 days. And they were like shouting blasphemy at him, and he was telling the truth. That temple, the physical building, is done for. It's finished. It doesn't matter anymore. He was raised within 3 days, and then he was ascended to heaven. And that Holy Spirit dwelling within us makes our body the temple. So every single one of us have a temple. Every single one of us are now a priest of our own temples. Where you would have a priest that would see God once a year, we are now priests that see God every day, all day, if we want to. And we manage our own temples. And with this temple, just like Ezekiel is saying, from under the threshold that's under the door of our temple, we are the temple and Jesus within us. The river flows from this temple now and it flows into the Dead Seas. And all the Dead Seas are the people that don't have Jesus. And so that's the gospel of Jesus, seen by all these, what were crazy men back thousands of years ago, like Ezekiel, confirmed by Jesus when he walked the earth, and then we see it happening in the Bible all over about this river. And it also speaks about a river in Revelation, and it shows that what is going to happen is when God restores the earth to our final heaven, basically. It says this in Revelation 22. It says, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the greatest street of the city. On each of the side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its own fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse." That's speaking about when God restores the earth. "The throne of God and the Lamb of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him." And so this river is our eternity. It all starts with Jesus. It flows through us, and this river, we're going to be going deeper and deeper for the rest of our lives. It's the most beautiful thing, and I'm excited for that. And I hope that God births a bit of an excitement and a joy in your hearts of this. Like, I can't wait to go deeper and deeper and deeper into this crazy, amazing story of Jesus. It is incredible, and it's a relationship. It's this joyful thing. It's not a deep, sorrowful, woe's me, I need God in my life. No, it's like he gives us like a water. Like, you know, if you see a parched person and you give them water, it's like what it does to their body. That's what God is doing for us. And so my encouragement for all of us is to make sure that we stay in the river, faithful with the season we're in. Some of us might be in ankle deep. Some of us might be swimming. Good luck wherever you are. We're all in a different season, so I pray that God helps you in that season. And we need to be faithful and make sure that we're looking to the next thing. And so the only place we ever need to be unsatisfied is with the presence of God. Like, when I experience God, I'm never satisfied. I always want more, always. When I experience his presence, I want more. When I experience his water, I want more. Doesn't mean that we need more and want more in work, or in Christmas, or in life, and the things of this world. The bigger picture is that none of that matters. Nothing matters when it comes to the presence of God. And so, yes, we want more, but it's only more of the presence of God. It's the only unsatisfied place we can be. In the workplace, with our money, with whatever, your image, how you look, God enables you to be completely content in those places. But in the presence, he doesn't allow us to be content. We need to always be unsatisfied with what God's giving us in the quiet place, but content with getting a chocolate for Christmas and not a new set of Nikes or a new bicycle or a new surfboard. We need to be content with what we have and what God is blessing us with. But at the same time, may we never be satisfied with his presence, with his water. May we never be satisfied. May we be a people that, maybe we look crazy, it doesn't matter, but it's all for Jesus. And I think, to be honest, I think to get the attention of some of the sleepiness in this town, the people that really need Jesus, I think we're going to have to get a little bit crazy, a little bit wild in the presence of God. If you see, like, the presence of God makes people go very wild. When I experienced God for the first time, I couldn't stand up straight. I was like crying, and I was like screaming, and I was like, what's going on with me? But maybe that's the way we're going to get the attention of people in this town, you know? They're going to be like, those people are crazy. Let's just go watch them, you know, check what's happening. Are we prepared to go to great lengths for the people of this town? And God's not slowing down over Christmas, just so that everybody knows. He's still on his mission for souls. And so don't get too comfy at home. Like, if God tells you to go, go. If God tells you to rest, rest. And I'd love to just finish with this scripture from Psalms. And this is just I love the scripture. It says, yeah, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in the step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers," just like a lot of people are doing during silly season, "but whose delight is in the law of the Lord." Just like Uncle Henry read this morning, like, rest in Jesus. Go to Jesus. That's where the joy is. "And who meditates on his law day and night." Don't stop reading our word in this season. "That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. And I love that. I want to get to the point where whatever I touch prospers because of Jesus. Everything, even if it's in your career, God can, if God is priority, He makes those things happen. But He will see it from a content heart and an unsatisfied quiet time. That is where He's going to do that. And so we don't do it out of ambition, but out of a love for Jesus. So I'd love to pray for us. And could I ask that we all stand and just for a moment, just close our eyes. Oh, thank you, Lord. God, I'd love just to pray and just ask you, Father, that we would first of all be a people that are never satisfied with your presence. We are never satisfied with how much we receive from you, that we would always, always want more from the Father, the one that created us. And Lord, as we read through the scriptures of the different seasons we can go through, I pray, Lord, that we would be a people that are faithful with what you've asked us, faithful with the season you've given us, satisfied with where we are in the workplace, content with what you've given us. We've got roofs over our heads, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the food we have. Thank you for the coffee we drink, Lord, for the family we have. God, may we be a people that are faithful with what we have so that you can bring the increase and you can bring more and all the worldly things around us that we need. And I pray, Lord, that we would be a people that are so unsatisfied with your presence, Lord. And so just with every eyes closed, I'd love to give an opportunity for anybody that may not know who this Jesus is that we're speaking about. Maybe you've heard about him many times throughout your life, but maybe you haven't realized that this is actually a relationship and that you get filled with the living water and it transforms you from the inside out. Fully transforms you from the inside out. It's nothing from the outside in. He changes who you are from deep within. And if you're hearing that for the first time and you just realize, I need a real, real relationship with Jesus, with all eyes closed, please can you just open your eyes and get my attention? You just put your hand up and just show me that's me. I need prayer. I really need prayer in this. Thank you, Lord. You always want to give an opportunity for those that just want to give their hearts to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Then I just felt another response for us is maybe some of us have lost sight of that big picture and we've built wells for ourselves and we've satisfied with a little swimming pool, or we just have lost sight of the big picture of this river, this rushing river that we are called to be a part of. And maybe we've become entangled in the things of this world, career and all that, but we want to be like Ezekiel that sees the bigger picture and is faithful with the bigger picture. And the call is very simple. If you want to just raise your hand and just show God outwardly, Lord, I want more of your river. Take me deeper, please, Lord. Take me deeper. My hand is up for this. I'm responding to God in this. I'm responding to God. And now, Lord, you see all the hands that are raised. God, you even see everybody that maybe haven't raised their hands, but you know in their hearts they're burning for you, Lord. Praying for everyone in this hall that we would all be taken deeper into your presence, deeper into your spirit, to that place where all the things of this world fall away. And we are a people that are just desperate for you, Lord. Desperate for you, God. And so I pray for everybody with their hands raised that you take us all deeper into your spirit, into your presence, and that we would be those that are faithful with you, Lord. Lord, I even just pray for Azefontein as a church. I pray that this river of life would flow down every street of this town and that people would start to hear about the news of this life in this church, and this life in this people. I pray over this town, Lord, that people would come to Christ. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Oh, how exciting this is, eh? Sure, I just feel thirsty. Feel thirsty. And I think it's not just about the moor. It's about walking the 1,000 cubits, walking it out every day, wherever you are. Think about it. Some of us don't even have wet feet. Maybe not a good statement to make. But we don't have wet feet. If you don't have wet feet, you haven't even started. Get wet feet. Go ankle deep. Feel the water. Enjoy it. I mean, if you go down to the ocean, that's exactly the experience. You start off with wet feet. You get wet feet and, it's cold. And then as you move in, deeper and deeper, knee deep, waist deep, up to your neck, waters to swim in. Beautiful picture, beautiful picture. God doesn't stop. God doesn't stop with whoever you are. Thank you, James. That was awesome. Just to hear the heart of what God is really saying to us as individuals today. Doesn't matter where you are, who you are. What's that? And Asia. Yeah, why not? A whole church. Let's move in the river. Jump in the river. All right, there's a song about that too. We won't sing it today, but there is definitely one of those. Just before we go, Martin, you have a couple of scriptures you'd like to read.